Welcome to Renewed by the Word with Pastor Edwin from Redeemer Church, Miami. We are glad you can join us today. Please grab your Bibles as we walk through the Word of God together this morning.
And church, we do wish you a very good morning. It is so good to see so many of you here. Welcome back for those of you who have been out for a while. For those who are watching online, we welcome you in and we thank you for being here. Once again, I just want to extend a thank you to all of you for your prayers for my dad. Day 15 in the hospital, but he's better, and hopefully he'll be discharged here in the next day or so. He's healthy, he's strong. He just took the bed rest thing a little too seriously, so we got to work on his legs and his arms now, because he really took it as a vacation there at the hospital, so we got to get him moving again. But besides that, he's healthy, and we're grateful for that. Let's keep praying for the families in our church who are dealing with the virus on and off, waiting their 10 days or so. And for those who are also dealing with various sicknesses. Today we wrap up our sermon series looking at the church. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me? You could look at it on your phone. You could, the blue ones in front of you are the ones in English. It'll be behind me here in just 1 second. For those of you at home, it'll be on your screens. Today we're going to look at Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 16. And we'll just read through 20. It'll sound familiar to you very, very quickly. Because this is a passage that we refer to constantly, not only in our church, but kind of in the church in general. So if you would just stand with me for a second, as a show of respect to God's word, we will work our way through this text, and then we'll jump on in. This is the word of God, Matthew 28, beginning in verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Let's pray together, church. Heavenly Father, we praise you and we thank you for this beautiful Sunday morning where your children and your church can gather before your throne. And thank you that in a very powerful, miraculous way, we stand before you, an audience of one. And Heavenly Father, we pray that in these moments that we have lifted our voices to you, that that worship would be pleasing to your ear, that it would rise as incense in your throne room. And now as we look to your word, we pray that your voice would be heard and not mine. And I pray that all of my imperfections would just get out of the way, that the Holy Spirit will be able to speak clearly to our church this morning. We thank you, Jesus, for making this possible. We thank you that through the Holy Spirit, you are here. Fill this place. Be with us. Turn this simple church into holy ground because you are here. May a fire burn in our hearts. May our minds be open and renewed, and may our souls be refreshed because we have been in the presence of God Most High. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for Jesus. In his precious name we all pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, church. You may be seated. Well, today we bring to a close this message series looking at the church. Let me just very quickly and in a very brief way kind of put some things together for you. We started at the beginning of the month. It seems that August has been a very long month for whatever reason. And we started with the church, its meal, because it was Communion Sunday. And we talked about how at the table, it's not just a memorial, it's a place of new life. It's not just a memorial, it's a place of transformation. It's not just a memorial, it's a place of newness. So the table is not just some kind of some memorial service, which we're going to actually do next Sunday, united together because of Labor Day weekend. But at the table of the Lord, which we usually have right here behind me, there is new life and there is a new start and there is power. It is alive and it's active. It's not some kind of museum where you're kind of learning about what Jesus did for you. Then Alex came in and filled in for me, and we can say that he talked about the salvation that the church preaches, and he really talked about John 3:16, kind of John chapter 3, Nicodemus and Jesus kind of hiding at night. You know, Nicodemus doesn't want anyone to see him, and they have this powerful conversation about how can I be born again? How can I possibly start this all over again? And then Jesus kind of makes a great declaration, "For God so loved the world." And so there you had this two-part kind of the church's message of salvation. And then last week when I returned, we talked about the other side of salvation, the Luke chapter 4 passage, which is the foundation of our church, where Jesus goes to the synagogue, he's coming out of being tempted, he's coming out of spending a little bit of time up north, and then he goes to his own hometown, reads him the Isaiah scroll, and as we walked through this last week, he reads the section, he finds it, he goes directly to what he wants the people to understand, is the gospel saving us in the everyday. If John 3:16 is the larger umbrella salvation that God offers us, Luke chapter 4 is the everyday salvation that we experience. So this is where he says, this is good news for the poor, right? For those who feel and know that they are far from God and just don't know what to do about it, but they're kind of seeking it and trying to figure it out. You know, he has come close to them. God has sent his son for that individual. For those who are prisoners, and Paul, the Apostle Paul likes to use the term slave. You can be a slave to an extreme such as drugs and alcohol and pornography. You could be a slave to something as simple as your job, a career, where it becomes important over everything. And what you don't realize is that the devil uses all these things and he locks you in a box. He paints it as this magnificent vista, this incredible, you know, world before you, but you're really locked in a cell cage about 3x3. And Jesus comes around and breaks down those walls and sets you free for the first time. And this is where the blind can see, one rattling into the next one. Now, I kind of angled blind last week a little bit different, and I said it this way. There are individuals who are walking through this life who are, for all intents and purposes, fairly good people. They're walking through, they're not causing trouble, they're not hurting anybody, they're not killing anybody, they're not stealing or anything, but they are blind to what God has done for them. They have no idea of how deep his love runs for them, of how deep the sacrifice was for them. So they are blind, and it's not their fault. And this is where this message comes in right after. If last week was the church's message, today is the church's mission. And this is where the go and the make becomes so important. But then there's the last piece of the puzzle, which is the release of the oppressed. And we talked about how there are individuals whose lives have been shattered. They suffer an event, or there's a turmoil in family, or something happens with a career, or just something, you know, life brings explosions where things just go sideways. And the text, when it says the release of the oppressed, that word is so beautiful. And I said it last week, and it bears repeating once again. People who feel that their life has been shattered into pieces. People who feel that there is a boot on their neck and they can't look up. People who feel that it's all gone wrong. And Jesus is saying, I will set you free from that. I'm not just going to get the vase and glue it back together again. I'm going to give you a new one, a new life, a new start, a new family, a new career, everything new with him. No recycled stuff with Jesus. And then he says, to declare the year of the Lord's favor. That's how the passage finishes. He actually switches that out from Isaiah 58 because the passage actually finishes with judgment. But he swaps it out. And he says, to declare the year of the Lord's favor. In other words, this is the moment of forgiveness. This is the moment of change. This is the moment of new start. Will you extend a hand to Jesus? Because he is extending a hand to you. And so now with that other side of salvation, right? The larger John 3:16 on one side, the more daily Luke chapter 4 salvation. Now we come to this text. We come to Matthew 28, the mission of the church. So let's start slowly rumbling into this text. The first thing that you need to just notice, and it's a little touch that God does, and Matthew picks up on it as he's inspired to write this down. We are finishing on a mountain where Jesus is meeting his disciples and an extended group of disciples. Well, Jesus' ministry began on a mountain, the Sermon on the Mount. That's why it's called that. It's the side of a mountain. But yet in the middle of these two peaks, there's another one, the Mount of Transfiguration. So Matthew is very carefully making sure that you understand that not that everything else is less, but that these three moments are elevated. At the very beginning, when Jesus begins to preach for the first time, it's a high moment. If you ever want to know how you're supposed to live, because a lot of people ask me that, Pastor, now I'm a Christian. Now what do I do? Read Matthew chapter 5-7. It's three chapters. You will read them in the span of 10 minutes. If you really want to know how to live, if you really want to know what Jesus wants of you and God expects of you, how you're supposed to realign your life, it's all there. Matthew puts it all together. He doesn't bother letting these little bits and pieces of teaching be scattered throughout events. He condenses them all for you, puts them all in one spot. So how shall we live? First mountain. The mountain in the middle of Transfiguration. Let me just remind those of you who maybe you're kind of fuzzy on that. This is where Jesus begins to glow like lightning, white. And for just a split moment, because he can't do it completely, he pulls back the curtain on himself. He shows you the eternal Jesus, this eternal, powerful light that is unlike anything else that humanity has ever seen. And so for a split second, we get to see him for who he really was before he put on a human body. He allows us to glimpse the eternal Christ. And then the last mountain is now go. There is a mission. There is something to do. We're not just supposed to hang out as Christians, you know, kind of hunker down, close the doors. We'll talk about that for a second until he returns. No, we're meant to go out. The church is supposed to be a church on mission. And we'll talk about that more in just one second. The training of the disciples had basically come to an end, but they were going to step into a different kind of training now, where the Holy Spirit was going to be now taking all of these bits and pieces, all of these moments, all of these sayings and teachings of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit was going to begin to weave them all together with their own testimony, with their experiences, with their life, and they were going to have something to say and something to teach. These are not just little robot people that you insert a disc into and they just start spitting out Jesus things. It's called a testimony. And you've heard me say it before to you, church. Your experiences, the good and the bad, are all valid for God. They are all ordained by God in order so that you would have something to say about your great Savior. And so in spite of their faults and in spite of their failings and their successes and everything, they're going to go out with this mission and with this message, and so are you. That's the whole point of today. It's not just something that was said to the disciples. It's something that's being said for you and for me. And now you have these men and a circle of women who are going to take these 3 years and they're going to begin to bless other people with what they saw, with what they heard, with what they've learned. And they're going to give it to them as a gift. Now, you can't call it Bible study yet because the Bible's not there. It's more like a Jesus study, right? Just straight up Jesus study. And then they're going to be the leaders over these people as they are led by Jesus Christ with the power of the Holy Spirit. They are middlemen. They are priests standing in the gap for others. You, and I'll put it in quotes, right? You are sometimes a mini shepherd for someone in your life. Like I said before, you are more the pastor of someone in your life than I am because you are encountering them. You know their needs. You know their wants. You know their pains. You know their sufferings. And you are the one that God has put in their life to minister to those needs, to help, to share the hope and the healing that comes only with Jesus. And then there's also then just a standing in the gap, being the bridge between someone and God. You are not only a mini shepherd, you are also a mini little priest standing in the middle. So this is how Matthew has already set up this last part of his gospel. So we jump on in. Here's our first observation, and I entitled it for you, It's Not Easy. Did you catch this one little phrase that Matthew puts there? And this is beautiful because it's honest and it's an eyewitness thing. He says, the 11 went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Listen, if you wanted to make Christianity into one great big lie, what you would have said there is, and they raised their hands and you can hear hallelujahs all throughout the mountain range and people were jumping up and down and someone brought out the guitar, you know, and someone found a drum set and they were the Bible doesn't do that. The Bible tells you the truth. It says, the disciples went to Galilee. When they saw him, there's a change in the language. When the disciples saw him, because they've seen him several times, they worshiped. Because they had an encounter, but some, the extended group, the other people who are there, doubted. Now let me just correct that word for you because it's a very bad translation. When you go back into the Greek language there, it shouldn't say doubted, it should say they were hesitant. Church, no one is expecting you to stand up here on a Sunday and preach a sermon. Let's just come on and say that. You should never feel that kind of pressure when you're in your office or you're around the table at Thanksgiving or you're with a friend sitting in a restaurant or you're just having a cup of coffee with someone that you have to pull out the pulpit and all of a sudden, I'm going to preach to you. That's not what this is saying. What this is saying is within your walk with Jesus, there is nothing wrong with being a little hesitant. There is nothing wrong with being a little bit insecure. There is nothing wrong with sometimes wondering, okay, like God is doing this in my life, but you still don't see all the pieces. That's okay. It's part of being a human being. No one is asking you to be a phony. There was an old Marilyn Manson song, and he's actually talking about a church right here in Coral Ridge that he grew up in. Happy, shiny people was the term he used. No one is asking you to be a false, happy, shiny person. Jesus sent out these disciples and the extended group with all of their faults, with all of their insecurities, with all of their stereotypes, with all of their prejudice, but with a wonderful message, with a life-changing message, with a world-changing message, the gospel. And in spite of them, the gospel would do its work, but it was going to come through them so that people who were listening would look at them and say, well, they did encounter Jesus and I didn't, but my goodness, they look just like me. They had the same worries as me. They had the same concerns. They had the same issues. No one is asking you to be fake and have it all together. We're asking you to be genuine and real as to what the gospel has done in your life and what Jesus is doing. So I love the fact that the scripture is bluntly honest. Some were hesitant. Some were not sure. Some, and mind you, they're standing in front of the resurrected Jesus, right? Like, because you and I could say, well, I'm a little hesitant, right? We're 2,000 years removed. They're looking at him. They're staring him in the face. And they were still hesitant. So that just shows you the humanity of the scripture. It's not glossing over our humanity, our hearts, the worries, the stuff that makes us nervous. And even though they're standing there looking at him, they're hesitant. So please, don't ever think that you have to have it all together. Don't ever think that you have to be the most religiously perfect person in your office. Just be you, the new you, with a new message, with new eyes to see, with a new opinion to share, because everything is being funneled through the filter that is Jesus Christ, your Lord and your Savior. So we move on. Notice also what happens here, and I alluded to this last week, and I'll refresh your memory in 2 seconds. The 11 disciples went to Galilee. What is this fixation with Galilee? Last week, if you were here, or if you watched the message on YouTube, where does Jesus begin his ministry? In Galilee. And here we are again. He starts there and he ends there. The question is, why? Last week I said to you, Galilee represented, to a certain extent, the damage that the devil has done to all of us. Poor in spirit, blind, oppressed, prisoner. You can take humanity, put it into 4 basic categories. Not that it's exhaustive, but just 4 basic categories. That is the damage that the devil has done to us as human beings. And Jesus arrives at the place where he was most needed. He wasn't needed down in Jerusalem, where there was a temple. And that kind of kept everybody in line, because when you're walking down the street to go buy your bread and fish for the morning, there is this massive, and I'm talking it was a massive building behind you with fire rising up from the sacrifices. That kind of kept you in line. But out in the countryside, it was just you and a synagogue, and that was it. And so here is Jesus who begins where there is most pain, where there is more brokenness, where there is the most need. These people had no hope, they had no purpose, they had no direction. They were just living to live. You know what? And if you spend, I don't, but I've been told, right? If you spend enough time on social media, you start to see people who are just living. They're hoping for a little bit of attention so they can feel better about themselves, because their lives really don't have purpose. Their lives really don't have direction. They're kind of going in circles, a dog chasing its tail. And here comes Christ into that place saying, I'm going to give you purpose. I'm going to give you direction. I am here to heal everything that the devil has destroyed. And now at the very end, when he is no longer going to be there in person, where does he take his disciples? Right into the middle of Galilee again. Because Galilee was a place, and it's referred to in the Gospels many, many times, Galilee is referred to as Galilee of the Gentiles. Even the Jews themselves didn't refer to it as part of their own country. It was full of Gentiles, the outsiders, the people we don't like, the people that we're supposed to hate, the people that we're supposed to destroy. The people who don't follow God as we do, Jesus puts them in the middle of the mission field. Church, listen, let me just cut to the chase. Jesus has put you, me, us together in the middle of the mission field here in Miami. Where do you think you are? You're in Galilee of the Gentiles. You don't have to go looking for somebody who doesn't believe in God. Just go across the street to Walgreens and grab somebody. You will meet them in 2 seconds. Just jump the fence of the church and knock on a door. You are in the Galilee of the Gentiles. God has put us in the center of this city, not to run and hide, but to preach, to share the gospel. He puts his people where there is more darkness. He puts his people where there is no hope. He puts his people where lives are shattered and broken, where they are blind. Do you see how these things are coming together? That's why he's put us here. He hasn't put us here just to kind of hunker down and hold on until he comes back and try to be good little Christians until, no. He has put us here to go boldly, powerfully out to change people's lives. Matthew's amazing. What do we always quote in Christmas time when Jesus is about to arrive on the scene? Matthew quotes Isaiah, and the phrase is, the people walking in, can you say it with me, in darkness have seen a great light. He leaves them in the middle of Galilee because those people are walking in darkness, and now they have the gospel, which is the only thing that can bring true light to our lives. And here is the great problem of the American church. Pay close attention. There are two big problems. I might just bleed one into the other and start the next point this way. For too many years, the church in the United States of America decided that instead of being on mission, they're just going to do maintenance. In other words, and I've worked in many churches like this, unfortunately. Fairly good group. We're going to do our Sunday thing. We're going to do a couple of special activities. We'll do our Bible studies. We make sure we have a nice youth group and we have a nice ministry for the kids, and that's it. That is not called mission. That is called maintenance. And if you pay close attention to the language, it says, go make, baptize, teach, and then I'll be with you. It's a promise that I'll be with you if you are doing these things. So sometimes, even when you have, and remember, God doesn't care about numbers. He doesn't look at churches that way. God looks at a church and he wants to see impact. That's what he wants to see, because numbers don't always lead to impact. And so sometimes you have ministries who you look at it from a distance, you're like, wow, but it's maintenance. Because if you look at their sharing of the faith, it's none. There's no impact at all in the community. So you have to ask yourself, are we a church of maintenance or are we a church of mission? Let me answer the question for you. We are a church of mission. I could care less about maintenance. It doesn't matter to me. How many times, and some of you in the room and some might be watching online, have come to me with just the craziest cockamamie idea you've ever heard in your life. And I'm saying, you know what? We have a building. We have a beautiful property. We have resources, limited. We'll do it. Because if this cockamamie idea will bring one person to Jesus Christ, then the $1,000 or $2,000 or $3,000 that we're going to spend on it was well worth it. Because guess what? Our church can't bring its church budget with it into eternity. It stays here. But that person can have a place in eternity with us. Now do you see? That's the difference. And so for those of you who've been part of the drive-thru in Christmas time, you've heard me say it many times again, it's worth sharing with all of you, and we invite you all to volunteer because we need your help. That's a big thing coming up in Christmas time. We always say, we do this effort of a Thursday, of a Friday, building sets, Friday decorating them. You're here, you give up a Saturday night, you give up a Sunday evening. Then we got to tear the whole thing down. This is a 4-day intense experience. And what I always tell the group gathered around, and many of you who've been doing this for many, many years, will be able to say, yeah, he always says that. I'm like, we do all of this for one person. We do it all for the one. And when a church gears itself to simply say, if we impact one person for eternal salvation, this has been a success. Not that there was a million people who came, and not that they put a bunch of cool pictures on social media. Not that everybody knows about the activity. Whoa, that's the church that does that. No. The fact that somebody walks away in their heart of hearts saying, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Then we say, amen. The 4 days were worth it. And we'll do it again, and we'll do it again, and we'll do it again. We'll save one per year. Amen to that. We'll do it. But just so you understand the difference between mission and maintenance.
Thank you for joining us today on Renewed by the Word. Our desire and hope is that your time in the Word with Pastor Edwin will continue God's renewal in your entire person and life. For more information about Redeemer Church Miami and Pastor Edwin, visit their website, RedeemerChurchMiami.org. That's RedeemerChurchMiami.org. May God bless you richly, and we look forward to being with you next week.